Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up! I'm gonna dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is off to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Craig and Couture, who I will put on the air in just a second here. Craig, what's going on?
Beautiful day in Washington. I just got done eating a large top sirloin steak. I feel amazing.
Awesome. And Couture, what's going on?
Nothing. I'm watching Impact.
Hmm.
Just challenged James Storm.
Awesome. And what else is happening on the show?
Austin Aries came out at the beginning of the show and gave up the X title to get a shot at Bobby Roode next month at Destination X, and said that they're going to make an annual tradition that you can give up the X title for a shot at the world title at Destination X every year.
That's pretty cool. That at least at least you know you'll get the X Division's champion. He'll get at least one main event, even though he won't be the champion while he does the main event. But at least it has some more prestige because that title used to mean something and it hadn't been shit in years.
Yeah, and plus I guess they're gonna on the show on the pay per view they're gonna be crowning a new X Division champion on that show. So that'd be something cool too.
That's cool.
That'll work.
Yeah, if you give it up, they ought to put it on somebody else on the same show. That makes sense, actually.
Yeah.
I don't expect Austin Aries to win or anything, but it's good to see him get a pay-per-view event.
Yeah, and they should do, like, some kind of a Ultimate X or some kind of a wacky stip match where there's a bunch of guys involved for the title, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. That works for me.
Yeah. And they had it's open fight night, so everybody's challenging whoever they want in this Bound for Glory tournament. And Robbie E put out an open challenge to anybody, and Kurt Angle just couldn't help himself. He saw easy points with Robbie E in the ring. So he hauled ass, and he beat him in a matter of seconds. Pretty smart if you think about it.
Yeah.
Well, he is an Olympic gold medalist. You know, he's a smart dude.
And
he's
tonight
a
will
crazy,
be the big reveal of AJ
dude.
And Dixie Carter and what's been going on with them. They're very upset. So hopefully
I don't know
how they got up while we're still on the air about what the whole deal was with that.
I wonder how they're going to book themselves out of that whole thing. I mean, they can't, you know, hey, we were going to throw a surprise party for you, Sturge. You know.
Yeah. I
don't know how
that's going to go. I mean, you can't be so upset about something like that being, like, taken out of context if you know it's not true and it's for a specific reason, like a birthday party or something, and you're pissing and moaning about it. Everybody's being hurt over this. But we'll wait until next week on live television to set everybody's minds at ease.
Yeah,
Yeah. Well, hopefully they'll actually be a swerve and they're actually fucking.
I think it's AJ's wife cannot have kids anymore, so this is going to be a surrogate. That's my plan.
Or maybe Serge can't get it done, so they're enlisting.
AJ's donating. Yeah.
No.
we'll see what happens here. Hopefully it'll be something good.
We got semen talk on two shows. That's great.
Yeah. We'll see how what our good buddy David Lagana can come up with. Fine, nothing good.
He's a twisted man.
And they had a hideous segment with Brooke and the women backstage.
There's nothing hideous that Brooke can do. She's fucking five stars awesome. Didn't you see her in Landshark?
She's not an attractive woman. I look at her and poke her with a mustache.
She's hot, goddammit. I don't care what it
looks
like.
No,
she looks like an Amazon.
She's hot.
Well, I'll take another woman. You can have that one.
Sure.
She's pretty much all the knockouts. They're all pretty much fucking hot.
She's okay, but she's definitely got that Hogan chin. You know what I mean?
I know. I sit around at night dreaming about ODB. Yeah, they're all hot.
Oh, you're getting me excited.
Hey, ODB looked fucking hot at her wedding.
Oh, jeez. Ed.
You remember when she used to be in OVW, she had the coconut shell over her tits?
I don't know.
I saw that on YouTube one time.
Oh, good for you.
Samojo James Storm beat Samojo. So.
Shocking.
Good for him. Yeah. So in our initial contact, we talked about doing some arena and famous matches talk, and then somebody brought up news. And so what are we doing tonight? I mean, I've got a little bit of both. What do you guys got?
Well, we got to do
okay.
The news.
Well, I could have sworn that somebody, the person who brought up the news was Craig, and then the person who said we could still do the arena thing was Craig. So I don't know, Craig. You tell us what we're doing tonight.
I figured we'd do the news, and if we had time, we'd do the arena stuff.
The arena I kind of thought about, I was like, man, that's actually kind of a good idea. But then I was thinking about, Craig wasn't even a fan when the Cal Palace and the Omni and, you know, all these other places were going on. So I'm like, Craig's going to have something from the ECW arena.
And take my other one.
For Madison Square Garden.
Exactly. Nicely done. Yeah. I picked two matches from those shows and those arenas.
And why did you get to pick
Rose
two and you told us you could only pick one?
No, just for a backup in case one of you two picked the other one.
Oh, okay. Well, that's smart. I'll give you credit on that one. But, we can do news first. I know Craig was in a little bit of a panic because he hadn't received any news yet. So, Katrera, did you ever get to... The news done?
Yeah, I seen it. I was sending it right there. He called me.
He got it done exactly 34 minutes ago.
Awesome.
That's why we should do news, because I put a lot of time into it. Coffee
shit. Doing that cut and paste. You did a fine job.
The Observer newsletter is very long, so it takes a while to sort
everything
out.
I got to, decipher some of it. I got to leave out some of Dave's little things he thinks is funny. So
yeah.
He won't think we're nerds.
Yeah, we don't want any plagiarism suits going on here. There was pay-per-view this last weekend. It was called No Way Out, and it was put on by the WWE. And it was a pay-per-view that, frankly, I didn't see.
I got to see the first two matches because I didn't have to leave to work until after the second match. So, thanks to my lucky stream, I got to see the first ones. And I got to say, I felt kind of stupid because at first I got very, very, very excited when they announced the title match, thinking I'll get to see Daniel Bryan before I leave to work. And then goddamn Sheamus came out.
Well, if Daniel Bryan had opened the pay-per-view in the title match, you'd have heard people bitching more than usual.
That's true.
I would have been happy because I would have been able to see it. So fuck everybody else. But it was an okay match. I mean, I thought Ziggler looked pretty good. Sheamus is all right, but he's to me, he's like right under like champion material. Like he can main event, but I just can't see him as the guy. And then he looks so stupid when he's trying to suck up to everybody doing his bro. I mean, he's lost points with me since he's won the title.
I like him. He's fine. For the SmackDown Championship.
I think if you keep the title on him for like another 6 months, I think then and then even another couple of years in the business, I think he's going to be really, really good.
Yeah. He's unique. He's got a unique style, unique look. You know, everything will be up for it.
And plus, our good buddy Blake Norton trained him.
Oh, is that right?
Well,
yeah, we only really talked about that when Blake was on the show.
I didn't even know who Sheamus was when Blake was on the show.
There you go.
Yeah, he might have been just when he first came to town. That was kind of a while ago.
Yeah.
And then
anyway,
this show, I won't say this was a bad pay-per-view. It was just a boring pay-per-view.
Well, let's run down the results here real quick. We had the match we talked about, the World Heavyweight Champion Sheamus pinned Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler continuing to lose. We had the U.S. Champion Santino Marella defeating Ricardo Rodriguez in a tuxedo match. I'm sure it was horrible.
It was amusing. It was entertaining. I was entertained by it. He had the cobra on his foot and knocked him out.
It was the best tuxedo match I ever seen.
Really?
It was. You can't even see it in your own, really. You know, it was awesome.
It was a tuxedo match.
Ricardo was awesome. They worked it the way a tuxedo match should be worked. I mean, I thought it was fantastic.
The best tuxedo match of all time was Hacksaw Duggan and Ted DiBiase in the steel cage with the coal miner's glove on the pole. Tuxedo.
Wow, how many stipulations can you throw into one match?
I know, you think Russo came up with it, right? Especially Bill Watts or somebody.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to put all these stips into one fishbowl, and we're going to pull out four of them and put them together.
Probably Dangerously did Cornette a pretty good one time. Great American Bash, I think.
Hmm. And the Intercontinental Champion Christian pinned Cody Rhodes with a spear, not a frog splash, Brian Alvarez.
Yeah, Brian Alvarez is an idiot. How do you see the frog splash in a spear?
Well, if you do it.
You know why? Because the illegal stream that he was watching must have been jumping at the time.
Look how much stuff Ryan misses on a regular basis watching not on a screen. So.
Okay, pay attention to this match. Titus O'Neil and Darren Young defeated Primo and Apico, Tyson Kidd, Justin Gabriel, Jimmy and Jay Uso, and they got a number one contenders. They became number one contenders for the WWE tag team titles.
Like an episode of Superstars invaded a WWE pay-per-view.
And I heard this was like the best match on the show, possibly.
I wouldn't say it was the best match. I mean, it was good. They had the big AW heel turn, which I don't think anybody understood.
So he went from being a heel to being a heel?
Well, he turned heel on his team. He turned on his team.
Okay. Were they both his teams, though? I mean, thinking about how, like, what's their names have been hanging out with Laurinaitis. That's probably why I got confused. But there's actually a hell of a lot of talent in the match. It's just that nobody in the audience probably gave a shit about it.
Yeah, I'd have probably rather seen, everybody except the primetime players that I'd probably enjoy. just two NXT rejects. Has been on the season NXT that just ended the last, like, 5 years.
Dude, Darren Young's awesome, dude. He has immeasurable strength.
Immeasurable.
He looks like...
And Titus O'Neil does a dog bark.
You look like you left John Cena in the sun.
Right?
Yeah.
The one thing I think is kind of like, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, Tyson Kidd got new gear. They actually said that, hey, you know, this kid's got talent, let's do something. And, of course, he's only been doing like 30-second jobs since. So, you know, that kind of sucks.
actually, I'll tell you guys later off the air. But anyway, we had Divas champion Layla pinning Beth Phoenix. Okay.
I don't know why she's
Cara.
Beating Beth. Seems like Beth should be the champion.
Yeah, I understand.
Well, had I seen this match, I'm sure it would have been a 5-star.
It was not a bad match.
I don't mind Layla being champion because Layla's fucking hot as shit, but
you don't say.
When, if ever, are they going to bring freaking Karma back to do something?
I don't know because you guess what they were going to dangle they were going to do and they canceled it, you fucker.
Right.
Yeah. This is all Dave and Brian's fault. They're fucking up pro wrestling. They need to just stop fucking.
They wouldn't give us all these scoops, then pro wrestling would be much better.
Yeah.
They wouldn't tell us what's going to happen.
Yeah, and then like they can actually do something that makes sense.
Sin Cara pinned Hunico for the 34th time.
This match sucked.
Really?
Yes.
They had a good match on SmackDown a couple weeks ago.
They must have told Sin Cara and I had to do a bunch of stuff or something because this was like really grounded match. I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they did. You know, it's like Dave was ranting about on The Observer. It's like they finally convinced him and taught him how to work WWE style, and now he doesn't mean a goddamn thing.
Yeah, his matches ruin him depending when he fucks shit up.
Yeah. Did they get rid of the stupid lights yet?
No, it's still there. It looks absurd. Nah,
I hate that. That's the worst thing ever. Anyway.
Who else had Kane had lighting when he first started, right?
Yeah,
for maybe a couple of weeks.
Yeah, he worked under red lights for like maybe a month tops.
Remember that lighting they did at that TNA ECW reunion show?
I didn't see that show, but
No, it was just like the same kind of like they had a special like blue lighting. It looks weird. It's kind of hard to watch.
So when they bled, it turned purple?
I guess so. When Raven took bloody Tommy Dreamer in front of his kids. Did you see did you see the Sabu video?
No, barely heard about it right before the show on the other day.
Yeah, they, the Extreme Rising promotion, you know, the Shane Douglas thing, is, they were promoting Sabu coming back, and they showed footage of him being wheeled out of the hotel after his overdose. And we're using that to promote that he's returning to their next show. It was extremely bad taste. Pardon the pun.
We should do coke on a pole match with him. Climb up there and just snort it all up. Anyway.
This is an environment Matt Hardy needs to be in, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Kind of great on the show. I was really surprised
I don't know who I believe more, Matt Hardy or Larry Zbyszko talking about Scott Hall.
I tend to believe Matt Hardy a little bit more because the first 20 minutes of that show, I was just scratching my head and going, huh?
What were they talking about? I didn't hear it. Was it?
He's
going to stall for 15 minutes, so.
He talked about the fucking Illuminati. He talked about all kinds of conspiracy. I love that first. I mean, just because it was Larry Zbyszko of all people talking about all this fucking wacky conspiracies and the Mayans and the world's gonna end and the pyramids and oh my god, it was one of the best things I ever heard. Just because it was Larry Zbyszko, you know, talking about this wacky shit.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Okay, were you there in Orlando that WrestleMania year?
No,
when
I wasn't at that one.
Okay, well, Zbyszko was outside of the place that we had gone to eat, and Brian made me basically smuggle him out because Larry was outside having a, you know, blow on a butt. And he's like, Craig, cover me. I need to get past Larry Zbyszko. I was like, what? And so I basically used me as a human shield to hide him from Larry Zbyszko.
How the fuck does Larry Zbyszko know what he looks like?
you got me. But anyway, I had to physically smuggle out Mr. Alvarez so Larry Zbyszko would not find him for whatever reason. But he was a nice guy. I talked to him actually for a couple of minutes while Mr. Alvarez was waiting to come out of the restaurant. Anyway, going back to the pay-per-view, world champion CM Punk defeated Kane and Daniel Bryan by pinning Kane with the go to sleep.
I'm surprised he even used that move on Kane.
Frightening.
This was a good match. Much better than you would think with Kane involved.
And we got the AJ coming out in disguise.
Yeah, she came out in a Kane mask and like a red and black pants. She was just skipping along and skipping along, and Kane got distracted,
and then he got
beat, and then Kane carried her out, and then she glanced back at Punk and gave him a big smile, like it was a plan all along.
You mentioned Kane doing pretty good in the match. Kane is like one of the most underrated dudes. I mean, everyone's all fucking bitching about Kane, this, that, but Kane has had a lot of great matches. He's actually in, if he's someone he can work with, he's pretty awesome. I mean, I don't know why there's so much Kane hate.
Well, I mean, for certain stuff, like when he's up against like another big guy or somebody that's not a very good worker, it's not very good. But when he's in there with like Daniel Bryan,
dude, when him and the Big Show
like
start chain wrestling, that shit is awesome.
Memorable. I don't remember that.
Right.
But yeah, when he's got like, you know, when he was the Big Kane fan was, I thought him and X-Pac were like an awesome tag team.
They were a good team.
Not bad. We had Ryback defeating Rob Grimes and Dan Delaney. And
it's the Ryback, Craig.
Okay, the Ryback defeated Rob Grimes and Dan Delaney. As I like to say, wash, rinse, repeat, because it's the same match he's been doing over and over and over again.
Why are people complaining about that? Because Bill Goldberg did the same match over and over and over again, and he became like one of the biggest stars ever. It's like, I don't understand why some people...
Well, because they see it as kind of a Goldberg knockoff. That's why people are not into it.
Right. And he's
not Goldberg. That's what makes it awesome is because he fucking looks like Goldberg and everyone's chanting Goldberg. And you know that Vince McMahon's in the back getting pissed off. That's what makes it fucking great.
Well, no, apparently he loves those matches. Vince loves those Ryback matches, apparently, according to the Observer, the Figure Four or something.
He's not Goldberg, number one. And number two, we've already seen Goldberg. So it doesn't matter.
Wrestling's about repeats. Everything's a repeat. Everything's been copied before.
It's not going to work, and as soon as wellness pops him, it's bye-bye for Mr. Ryback. That's all.
Dude, he eats with Daniel Bryan and Cody Rhodes. They keep his nutrition up, his, you know, everything. He's not on nothing, dude. Come on. He ain't felt anything yet.
The damn wellness screws up everything in wrestling. Fuck wellness.
You know, he eats up to Narrow Bread, dude. He could have did a break.
Well, maybe they finally get him going up against somebody that means something. Maybe people see behind him. I do like seeing him. They got the skinny-ass jobbers from, like, the 80s or something like that. They come at her.
That's another thing that I like. It's just the fact that they got these scrawny-ass fucking little jobbers out there. You know, it's kind of like a little blast from the past. I mean, I don't mind watching a 2-minute ass kicking.
He's going to hurt somebody too, by the way.
Excellent. Well, he almost killed Steamboat.
Yeah. He's going to hurt somebody, and he does not wrestle safe.
Well, at least he's not doing it with company guys.
Yeah, they should put him in the ring with Regal just for kicks. You know what I mean?
They can have a repeat of the Regal Goldberg match.
Exactly. And in the main event, John Cena defeated the Big Show in a steel cage when half the locker room ran out to settle Big Show's hash.
Yeah, it was okay. I don't know. So tired of that Laurinaitis crap. I was with it for a while, but this time's passed.
Mm-hmm.
Although that suit he had on was phenomenal. I think Vince made him wear that.
Okay.
The one thing about, like, the one thing I think is kind of is funny is, like, how some people can go out there and look like an idiot, like Santino ran out there and got knocked, you know, looked like an idiot. He looked like an idiot on Raw against Alberto Del Rio. But, yeah, he'll still probably get the third biggest pop of the night every night, even though, that you know, he gets treated like shit.
Yeah. Santino's in a good spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just it's amazing. Like, you know, like you like a lot of guys, they start getting beat and people lose interest or they lose faith and they, you know, like Tyson Kidd, you know, yeah, the smarts all love him, but the audience is like, who really cares? He loses all the time, but Santino loses all the time, but it doesn't matter because they actually let him get his character over. You know, I mean, maybe if they let some of these other guys be a little more, you know, do a little more talking or something, you know, maybe a few of these other guys could get over like Santino.
I think it's so funny in that tuxedo match. Rodriguez, he ripped like the pocket out and he screamed, "This is my only tuxedo." I said, "Well, why are you wearing a fucking tuxedo match, you dumb shit?"
I know.
And then
awesome.
Ricardo had on underwear with Alberto's picture on the ass.
That was pretty tremendous, actually.
Yeah. I love the commercial with Alberto for the Money in the Bank where Rodriguez is deciding to cheat.
Yeah. Eating his house with stacks of $100 bills.
I love that poster for that No Way Out show. Did you see it with AJ Ty and Daniel Bryan to the tracks with the train going?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love
that.
Oh,
but speaking of Daniel Bryan, that fucking radio interview was awesome that he did.
It was good.
I haven't heard. Was it up on the site or something?
It was on the front page the other day. I'm sure if you like hit the video and go download it, you'll find it. It's like a 20-minute. It's one of those where he did a real radio show, but it's one of those radio studios that have the camera, so they kind of record what's going on. He just talked about like it's a few stories. Like he did an awesome Vince McMahon invitation, because he was talking about he wrestled Jericho that first NXT, and Jericho came back and was propping him up, and this is like, but he doesn't even eat meat. Who can get behind him? And then he told the story about the Ryback and the Panera Bread, where the Ryback just looked at the menu for like 8 minutes and then just freaked out, screaming that there's nothing that he can eat that only guys like Daniel Bryan and Cody could eat there, but not guys like him.
Yeah.
And then he was asking for if they had chicken breast, instead of saying oven roasted chicken or whatever, and the girl told him no, so he started freaking out, and he's like, "Do you guys have salad?" And he said he was standing right in front of the salad sign. So it was awesome. It was fantastic.
I have a whole slew of TNA news. By the way, we're not allowed to say TNA at our house, because when your 6-year-old gets a phone call from his papa, and papa asks, "What are you doing?" When your 6-year-old replies, "I'm watching TNA with dad," it just doesn't sound right. So it's known as Impact here in the Proper household.
Yeah,
we call it Impact Wrestling, not TNA, because TNA sounds like something naughty.
I do need to.
Anyway, yeah. TNA is suing Scott Steiner. TNA has filed a lawsuit against Scott Steiner for his remarks on Twitter on Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan. The companies claim that Steiner's last contract, which expired at the end of last year, had clauses that stated, as his contract provisions, Steiner could not make any statement or provide information, written, verbal, or otherwise, which directly or indirectly disparages or casts in negative light any TNA office, employees, representatives, affiliates, shareholders, license, and or past or current TNA talent. They noted
totally true, because Austin Aries told me that when he got his release after that first time that he was there, that was part of the contract, and that's why he wouldn't That's
how long was it? Was did he say how long his contract was for? Like after he got released? I mean, it's not forever, you know.
Yeah, but it hasn't been that long, you know what I mean? So
I don't remember when Steiner got released.
I remember him being on not that long ago. I mean, I know it's been months, but I think it's been within a year, and I'm sure it's like a year or two. I mean, look how long they try to keep Brock Lesnar out of everything. And wasn't it like 5 years or something?
They try to keep him out for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So
there was no way that was going to hold up, though.
Yeah.
I mean, some man's making a living.
The story goes on to say they contacted him on May 10th and told him to stop, but he has continued. They are also looking for a permanent injunction from the court order Steiner to stop saying bad things about them.
They're going to run him off like WWF did to Tom Zink.
That's fine.
Oh, it isn't.
Well, Tom is just starting to get his first show was awesome, but then they got less and less awesome after that, and he was just reaching by the end there. But how could anybody want to shut up Scott Steiner? I mean, the dude just—I don't think there's anyone been so unintentionally funny like he's trying to be serious in all my life. I mean, I remember when he was talking about the Germans bombing Hiroshima. And
yeah,
and you know that when he was meeting with Samoa Joe and calling him a half breed and saying that he's fat, that was awesome.
Yeah, I don't know why Scott Steiner even bothers with this. He's made millions in wrestling, and he's made even more than that in the stock market. The dude is doing fairly well for himself. I don't know why he even bothers.
He's still roid raging.
Well, there is that.
Well, there comes a time to get off the stuff, you know.
I'll tell you.
I just watched like a YouTube clip of the one Nitro where he was going off about how he sucked and the WWE was so much better.
Yeah, he got suspended with pay.
Oh, man. He's awesome.
In other TNA news, TNA Slammiversary's buy rate is an estimated right now at doing 14,000 to 15,000 buys. It's up from the 7 to 10,000 range the shows besides Lockdown and Bound for Glory have been doing, and it's way up from last year's Slammiversary, which was an estimated 7,500. Good for TNA.
Yeah, that was a great show. You know what's funny about this is the TNA fans, if they would have reported like a very low number, they would have said, TNA is a private company. You don't know what the numbers are, but if it's higher, they say, okay, that's right.
Yeah. I mean, they're up basically 100% from their low point.
Did anybody pick up the back issue of the Observer this week?
I haven't seen it yet. There was something on the title that kind of caught my eye.
There's something about the U.S., one of the first, like, USC shows does
TNA.
I couldn't remember what the buys were, but it was like really big for USA at the time.
I still remember Brian contacting me and said, you know, hey, there's this new promotion starting. It's going to be on Wednesday nights. It's for 2 hours, and the pay-per-views are $10. Just record it, and I'll split the cost with you. It'll be fun. I'll be over every Saturday. Don't worry. They won't even be in business for, like, 3 months. Boy,
well, they were gonna go out until Dixie showed up, so.
Yeah, that's true.
They actually have their first show for free on the website. I think they're showing it.
Really? With the
Some of those were wacky with all that Vince Russo bullshit and those Wednesday pay-per-views. They was doing goofy shit, like, having Nikita turn against Dusty Rhodes. Like, anybody know what that was about at that time? Jesus.
There was actual nudity on one of the shows, as I remember.
Yeah, they were going kind of far in those days.
Yeah. In other
I just was on Facebook real quick, and I noticed that the Angry Mark show, one of our sister shows on the Angry Mark podcast, is interviewing our old buddy, our crazy old buddy, Greg Sapolsky. So I just messaged one of the co-hosts to tell him that Doug gave the go fuck himself, and he's asking me why, so I guess he doesn't know the story. But that will continue.
Anyway, in other TNA news, King Mo is headed to Ohio Valley Wrestling. TNA is hoping for King Mo is hoping that King Mo will head to Louisville to begin his training sometime next month. He still has to recover from his knee surgery and subsequent staph infection after the surgery. The idea would be to get him on television regularly in the fall and then scale back in the winter, since he'll be doing the Bellator light heavyweight tournament in January.
I hope he's lost weight. He looked horrible with that 95 King of the Ring when Mabel won.
That's a different King Mo, buddy.
Oh, yeah, that was Turmo. I just thought he graduated from being a king.
Yeah, different King Mo.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
It took about half his age, I would imagine. Anyway.
He used to have this awesome entrance, and then Strikeforce wouldn't even hardly even show it, and that was like the main thing.
Yeah.
That he did. And I don't know, he's an all right fighter. We'll see what he can do.
He's a good fighter, actually. Just hope he stays off the stuff.
I'm watching Brooke Tessmacher here, and didn't she enters some kind of Hooters contest?
Yes. She's from the Houston area, as I remember.
Yeah.
Hopefully Matt Cleary and I can hit up the Hooters in Houston when I go over there in November. Anyway.
Somebody quit playing on Facebook. I keep hearing you get messages.
Ed?
Well, I'm trying to pass the message to Gabe Sapolsky, but unfortunately he was already off on the show and he's off.
Oh, God. Troll people on your own time.
Let it go. There are current plans for Raw to be going to 3 hours. The current plan, once Raw moves permanently to 3 hours, is to spend the first 50 minutes hyping up the top-of-the-hour match on both television and Twitter, and then kick off at 8:55 p.m. to run through the top of the hour. Another big match will start right around 10 p.m., and the final angle will close out the show during the over. Oh, this is going to suck.
I'm just going to start watching it about an hour and a half in, so I can flip.
Yeah, it's not switching to 3 hours for me. It's switching to 3 hours. It's switching to 2 hours and 10 minutes, basically.
It's switching to 3 hours with the fucking creator shit they've been doing.
Yeah, it has not been good lately. And I'm the biggest WWE mark there is. I mean, I love that company, but they have not been lighting my world on fire as of late.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. We have some new WWE titles.
The only thing I'm looking forward to is Triple H and Brock Lesnar.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be good. We have some new WWE Netflix titles that will be available, well, actually right now, because my son just downloaded the one that I can talk about right now. The Best of Raw and SmackDown from 2011. It's about a 30-minute highlight video. I'm just kidding. WWE highlights of the best matches and moments from their flagship TV series.
I'm trying to think of some. Let's see, there was the Punk thing. Punk promo.
Sure.
The Rock, the Return of the Rock, I guess, beginning of the year.
Okay.
So,
what's the DVD? Again, what's the theme of the DVD? I'm sorry.
You would quit playing on
Raw and SmackDown for 2011.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Muppets is on there.
The Muppets need to be on there because they were awesome.
Yes.
And Wolverine. Wolverine was awesome.
Yeah, he was awesome.
True.
And,
you also have You Think You Know Me, The Story of Edge. This is a 2012 documentary on his life and career in the WWE.
Yeah, I think I'm going to check that out tonight.
Yeah, it looks good.
It's the one they just put out.
Right. And another one they just put out, The Best of WCW Clash of the Champions. WWE's look back at NWA and WCW quarterly TBS specials, and it's hosted by one Dusty Rhodes, if you will.
Yeah, they got three. They got three episodes on there, so it's probably all the matches on the DVD in their entirety. So I just want to check out.
And our last story, there is an iPay-per-view this weekend. It's on Sunday. It's ROH's Best in the World iPay-per-view, and if you were screaming at your computer last month because you couldn't watch the pay-per-view, you'll be getting this one for free. And the lineup goes something like this. In a hybrid fighting rules match, Adam Cole is going to be wrestling Kyle O'Reilly. Former partners collide.
What is a hybrid rules match? I've never heard that.
Basically, MMA slash wrestling kind of a thing.
Can't you already do MMA rules in a regular match? MMA stuff?
I don't know what it is. I was just making something
up.
Why
don't you know? You watch this stuff. You're supposed to keep us up on this.
I know. I've been slipping the last few weeks, I'll be honest with you. In a tag team grudge match, Jay and Mark Briscoe's will be wrestling the Guardians of Truth with Truth Martini.
I remember the last tag team that Truth Martini had, they stuck. So I hope these guys are better than those guys. They did. They stuck and they had horrible gear.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Former ROH world champions do battle for the first time in New York City when we have diehard Eddie Edwards versus the notorious 187 Homicide. Styles Clash, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, I like Eddie, but I've always thought Homicide's a bit overrated.
Yep.
I don't know
what the big deal is about him. I totally agree.
Let's I'll never forget when he got blown up trying to get out of that damn cage.
He's coming off like somebody like New Jack, but except he can work.
And he trained Loki, so.
Is that positive?
I'm just saying. We have a three-way elimination match for the ROH TV Championship. We have Roderick Strong defends against Jay Lethal and the Sicilian Psychopath, Tommaso Ciampa. I have never heard that title for him, but I love it.
I still don't understand why Eric Stevens changed his name.
It's not Eric Stevens.
It looks like
we went over this last time. This match I'm looking forward to, special challenge match where the Belfast Bruiser, Fit Finlay, will be wrestling Unbreakable Michael Elgin.
That should be a good match.
That will be a great match. I bet you they hit each other really hard. ROH Tag Team Championship, the world's greatest tag team, of course, Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin, will be wrestling the All Night Express, Rhett Titus and Kenny King. Should be fun.
That's pretty good.
And in the main event, we have the ROH World Championship in an Anything Goes match. We have ROH World Champion Kevin Steen defends against Davey Richards.
Isn't he supposed to be retiring or something?
Next year. That's what he says.
Next year? I think he's going to be a fireman or something?
No, that was
what happened 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that's what I heard.
He's probably going to go back to doing that. I mean, he pretty much was doing it before he pretty much already was a fireman or he was a paramedic or something.
I don't know. Not 100%.
Good for him for having something else to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Jeff Hardy's out here in his face paint and he looks like a fucking mess. He needs to quit it with his paint. All over his face.
Someone's got this signature on the board where it's like a still picture, like in the
Mr.
Kennedy.
That's creepy.
But then Jeff Hardy's moving.
Yeah.
And it's like he's got a green face paint on. It's fucking scary.
It is scary.
Like my flipping out.
But speaking of Hardy, I mean, I thought Matt actually sounded the most coherent I've ever heard him sound in probably like 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. I really enjoyed that interview. It reminded me when Brian interviewed X-Pac a while back. You know, a guy who had kind of screwed up and was kind of getting his life back on track. Anyway,
the hell
I thought
that?
He came off very well.
When
was that?
Like that noise?
I don't hear anything.
No.
Oh, wow. I heard something that fucking scared me. Just
voices in your head. I blame weed.
Did they talk to you and understand?
Very possible.
Now,
anyway,
next pay-per-view should be pretty. The next WWF pay-per-view should be pretty good. Money in the Bank's always been good, so got that
yeah.
forward to.
Yeah, I think it will be good. And so,
I was thinking maybe
following
they go back to. They maybe since it's been 1 year, maybe do like a Cena CM Punk rematch or something on that show.
It's not a bad idea. I don't see it happening, but it's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm actually watching the TNA pay per view.
I thought it was in TNA in your house, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm watching Impact on my DVR, and I see that the lovely Taylor Hendricks of Shimmer fame is on my TV
hey,
this evening.
Hey, yes,
she
did the gut check.
I'm
going
to be gone for 1 second.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, she did the gut check tonight.
Oh, okay.
She got beat by, she gave a good show, and I thought she got beat by Tara. At some point, they
yeah,
need to let these people going for the gut check win, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That I don't think everybody should lose every week. So she'll be
well,
back next week to the judges and whatever.
You know, Tara, for an older lady, she looks pretty darn good.
She sure does. She's one of the,
yeah.
You see that mugshot of Jillian Hall?
Oh, that looked horrible. Oh, my goodness. That poor woman.
The makeup ladies in WWE are very good, and they should be very well paid.
They're artists, yes.
Wendy Richter looked better than her on Monday, and Wendy Richter don't look good.
Oh, that segment on Monday, I was on.
Hello?
Yeah, really bad. I was on my Facebook page and just goofing off, and Mikey Whipwreck had posted, "I can't wait to see Cyndi Lauper. I'm marking out here." And then his next post, you know, like 3 minutes later, "Wow, I can't believe I marked out for Cyndi Lauper." And then a couple minutes later, it was like, "Somebody end this. This is horrible."
And then Vince is in his headset telling Cole to bury the whole fucking thing, the whole town. And it's actually, I was like,
yeah.
when they were talking, like, Piper and Cyndi were in there, and, you know, they talk about Captain Lou and get a big chant going. You can see Cyndi was, she was tearing up a little bit, and Cole's sitting
yeah.
fucking laughing and like that.
Yeah, it was. And by the way, don't ever let somebody who's not in the wrestling business hit you with anything. Wendy Richter hit a man with probably fake glass, but she pulled back and then hit him quickly again. So anything that was broken made sure to go right into his skull. Gosh, poor door.
I feel Heath Slater's going to get beat up by some legend every week until his Fallon brawl. You know, he had to face Vader the other week.
Mm-hmm.
Son.
Well, that makes sense, I guess.
And Wendy Richter, she looked like Karma.
Yeah, she did not look real good. She did not look real good. Well, where has our host gone?
No, Jeff Hardy just beat Rob Van Dam.
Oh, thanks for the spoiler. Not quite there yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no big deal.
And Dixie and AJ are headed to the ring. Uh-oh.
Is he back? Eddie, are you back? Oh, Eddie. Oh, Eddie.
I thought he was back. I don't know.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, yeah. Here he is.
Hello?
There he is.
Are you back?
Are you guys still there?
Yes.
Yeah, we're still here.
Still there.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just had a I had something to take care of. Hope you guys weren't screwing up the show too bad.
Yeah, the pizza guy was at the door.
Huh? No, but something else kind of close to it, but more illegal.
I see. That would have been my next guest. Anyway, we are done with the news, producer, host, whatever you want to call yourself. So, yeah, we were – Couture came up with this idea where we would pick a famous arena or a famous stadium or whatever and pick a match from that place and discuss.
Well, this kind of has – this is actually – it's okay for, like, a short topic, but to me, I would kind of actually kind of do something like this in a future date, but what we pick – you know, we get the legendary arenas, and that's the newer ones. We get, like, the Cow Palace, the, you know, the Omni, and we just find, like, a supercard that they have and then discuss the supercard. I think that'd be pretty cool. But for this one, I'm going to bring up a match that none of us have seen, but it's a legendary match, and this is not even before Katrina started watching, but it's like right when I started watching wrestling, it was just a big fucking deal. And the building is the Omni. And to me, the Omni is like, for the longest time, the Omni was like Madison Square Garden, because every week on Saturday, every commercial break, they had the, where the Georgia Championship Wrestling going to here and there and there, and then they come to the Omni, and then they have Tommy Rich versus the Masked Superstar, and Ric Flair defends the title against Bob Armstrong, and just like they always promote these fucking cards, and they weren't like super cards, but it was always like good matches, and especially considering you're watching 2 hours of jobber matches for the most part on Georgia Championship Wrestling. But the Omni was the shit. And to me, it was the most famous match in the Omni. Well, one of them would be the last battle of Atlanta, which would have been the last match between Tommy Wildfire Rich and the Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer, ending their like 2 or 3 year feud, where it was like the bloodiest feud in wrestling. And I put it number two behind the Von Erich Freebird feud as the best feud in all of pro wrestling.
Yeah, that's I don't think that doesn't even exist on like any type or anything. I don't think it was ever filmed.
I know, that's what really sucks, is that it's like this match that was built to for like 2 years at least, and it's not on video anymore. No one's seen it, and it's just like it's one of those legendary matches that everybody knows about, but unless you were there, you didn't see it. But basically what this match was, it was a cage match, and it was even more than a cage match because they had a roof on it.
Yeah.
And this was their... They're not going to sign any more matches between the two dudes after this match. This is it.
When you say a bloody feud, it was bloody because Tommy Rich, he's the best at getting color.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was awesome. He was awesome. I mean, and Mad Dog was, he's a guy who hit his peak real early and kind of like, you know, he had like a good, like, so, like, his first half of his career was awesome, and then he just kind of like kind of tailed off for some reason. But this dude
very athletic.
He was very athletic. He was scary. The dude was fucking scary. I mean, he was so intense. Like, every interview, he just did, like, an 8-ball of cocaine and came out and did an interview. And he was scary. He was, like, you knew he was a badass, you know. And Tommy Rich was just the best babyface at the time. And, I actually got to see it one time. They came, they had like Georgia and Southwest did a co-promotion show, and they had them as the main event. And the match probably didn't last 5 minutes, and I don't even think they even got into the ring. They just started strapping on the outside, and 30 seconds later, they were both covered in blood. And it was just, that was like nowadays people will bitch of a feud going on for more than 3 months, but I couldn't get enough of seeing these two dudes trying to kill each other.
Yeah, I just, when I started watching wrestling as a kid, you know, that, like, it's like one Saturday every, this is after Georgia, but like one Saturday, like every month on TBS on the NWA World Championship Wrestling, they'd build up. You know, everybody and their mother would be out there talking about tomorrow night at the Omni. Tomorrow night at the Omni. And I'm young. I don't know where this place is. So I asked Mom if we can go to the Omni. And we're in Mississippi. She said no. So I was very upset.
And it was just a cool name, the Omni, you know.
Yeah.
Craig, I know it's way before your time, but any thoughts on this match or like
you, you two guys talk for just a couple of minutes. I want to see what this Dixie Carter thing is all about, okay?
All right.
I was going to make a comment on Tommy Rich. And when he came over to ECW for just a little bit, and I think it was New Jack hit him with a frying pan or something ridiculous.
Was it the pay-per-view?
It might have been the pay-per-view where he gigged, and in the middle of the ring, he stand there, basically hopped up and down and held his breath to get the blood flowing. So he gigged and he did this little jig in the middle of the ring, and the blood started flowing, and it, oh my gosh, it was a spectacular thing to see. Just him trying to get the blood flowing.
The very first real ECW that I saw other than the WWF stuff was the second pay-per-view. And they had they had the FBI against the Dudley Boys against New Jack and Cronus and maybe another tag team. But New Jack came off the top rope with a guitar shot and hit Tommy Rich. And he told us by like kind of doing a little jig too. And then next thing you know, he was bleeding. You know, he drinks about 3 or 4 beers and takes a handful of aspirin before he goes out.
Sure. Another thing about Tommy Rich, you know, when I used to look at the aftermags when I was younger, I was thumbing through one in class one day, and there was a picture of Tommy Rich. He was in the middle of the ring on his knees, and he was literally from his forehead, half his trunks. I mean, there was so much color on this guy. The kid next to me looked at it and he goes, "That's so fake. That's not real blood, is it? That's like ketchup, right?" And knowing now that that was real blood, that's pretty disgusting. But I didn't see a whole lot of this. I've seen a little bit of Georgia here and there, but we just, again, living here on the West Coast, we just didn't see it.
Yeah, well, it was awesome. So we'll go ahead and let you pick your match. It's probably now you're more than 5 years old.
Yeah. Actually, it's from 95. And you were right. I did pick two of the things I picked. The one was Madison Square Garden. So I was going to talk about Benoit winning the title at WrestleMania 20. Not just because that match was great, but because of the spectacle after the match. But the one I want to talk about was from 9/16/95. It was the Gangsta's Paradise show at ECW Arena. Yes, you were right about the number 2. And on the 6th match from the top, we got a Lucha Libre match because Paul Heyman had seen some Lucha and he brought in Rey Mysterio Jr. to wrestle Psicosis. And the reason I thought this was great, not just because of the arena itself. Of course, everybody knows the ECW arena, bingo hall. I mean, Paul Heyman took a bingo hall and made it the world famous ECW arena, which is now closed, unfortunately. But he took these two luchadors that nobody had ever heard of. He put them in the ring. And because of this match, which was an amazing match, by the way, they had they brought in luchadors for about 3 months after this. They brought in Conan, they brought in La Parca, and they had Ray and Psicosis wrestle. I think the next month there was a 2 out of 3 falls match, and then the month after that there was Mysterio and Conan against Psicosis and La Parca. And this is where Conan got the idea to take AAA to the extreme, if you will. But if it hadn't have been for this match, I don't think Eric Bischoff would have ever taken any notice to any of the guys in Mexico. And we never would have got him on Nitro. and we wouldn't have probably ever got Rey Mysterio as a world champion in the WWE. So I think it was a very important match.
Well, you're not totally accurate on that, because if you remember, WCW produced the World's Collide pay-per-view, and he'd also seen him at another show right before them, some festival that had like
this was this was before that though.
Oh well, but
this was before that. But yeah, that was an amazing pay-per-view. Probably in my top five of pay-per-views ever, the World's Collide pay-per-view. By the way, WCW got sued by Paul Heyman because he stole the name from him. But, yeah, this is a great match. Again, it was a six from the top. If you can believe this, the thing that was on top was Mikey Whipwreck and Public Enemy defeating Sandman and Too Cold Scorpio and New Jack in a cage match. I'm pretty sure the Rey Mysterio and Psychosis was better than that. In fact, I know it was, because it was pretty awesome.
Well, I know it wasn't better than that, and that's a segment I just watched.
Yeah?
God, this was a hideous segment. Okay.
Do tell. Do tell.
Dixie and AJ are in the ring. They're going to explain everything. And suddenly this woman comes out, and it's obvious either she's a little... she's good at drinking some beer, or she's pregnant. I'm going with she's pregnant. And
okay.
She gets in the ring and said that all these photos of Dixie and AJ coming in and out of hotel rooms was because that she herself had started drinking and doing pills, and they were there at the hotel trying to get her clean or some shit like that.
What?
And who was this woman?
I'm not going to nobody. I mean, just... Some friend that they've known for years and years, and they've just been meeting at these hotels trying to get her clean. I don't know. I guess they don't believe in rehab.
So what did Daniels and Kazarian have to say?
Well, they were... Then Daniels got so upset that he came out there because they were... they figured out it was a ruse. I figured he was coming out there because he was probably going to end up being the father of this whore's baby or something like that. I don't know. So they hit the ring, and the women left, and then AJ, he fucking nailed Kazarian with a powerbomb like he killed him. And then my TiVo cut off because these shows like to think they're real and go over a couple minutes.
Over him. Oh, thanks for the advice. I will adjust that right now.
I'm interested to hear Brian and Vinny tonight on the show. So
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what were you saying?
I was going to say, I guess we know exactly who booked this angle. Like this buddy on Facebook.
I think Vince Russo booked it. I think they found some of his papers or something lying around.
Hey, look what we found in the corner over here in the trash. Let's try this.
Jesus. We don't have enough drugs and shit in wrestling. Now we got the women doing it and getting pregnant. Baby's probably going to have 3 years.
Something. Well, we are waiting to hear what Contreras picked out for a match in a famous arena.
Okay, I'll go with the Superdome in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Okay.
I'll get to my one, but just like some of the classic matches that have been there, and like, I believe like the last Stampede was I think it was Watts and Junkyard Dog against Midnight Express. Maybe to the most people to the Superdome. I know they did the Junkyard Dog and Michael Hayes after he got blinded, and they did like the, I guess you could say this was kind of a dog collar match in a cage, and the dog was blinded, so he could only feel around. It was actually probably the only good match where somebody was blinded, you know, aside from those blindfold matches that they had, like, in the 90s and stuff like that. And the one match that I remember the most is one I was there for, and it's still my favorite match of all time, is Ricky Steamboat and Ric Flair, 2 out of 3 falls on the Clash of the Champions.
Yeah, I think this was okay.
Fuck you. That was a hell of a match. When, see, they,
know, back then they used to do the countdown of how much time's remaining in the matches. Say, oh, when they get to like 5 minutes, we know where this is going. You know, it's gonna be a time limit draw, and they got to 55 minutes, and both men had taken a fall, and lo and behold, like 56 minutes, they did the final fall. So kind of swerved me in a good way. And this was the first time I ever saw Ric Flair submit. I never saw a top star submit back then, but he did to the double arm chicken wing that Steamboat, he only ever used on the Ric Flair. I guess Ric Flair's the only one affected by it or something. I don't know. Yeah, it was an awesome match, and that was the second match in their series of, in their trilogy they did that year from Chicago, the first one.
Was this the one with Dave and Dr. Lucha marking out in the audience?
Yeah, him and Brad Muster of the Chicago Bears. I'll put them out. Looking like Mark.
David is awesome here.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And then he's marking out like a little kid, too. I mean, it's like, what the fuck?
I think he went to all those shows back then. I mean, especially when Steamboat came in, I think that he went to most of those. I know he was in the Baltimore for Flair and Funk, and I think he was in Nashville for that final Steamboat Flair match. I'm not sure.
Hey, I'd much rather sit next to Dave Meltzer marking out than sitting next to Brian Alvarez showing no emotion because somebody will think he's quote unquote marking out. I'd rather go with somebody who's having a good time instead of trying.
Dave obviously doesn't get excited anymore. Remember when he and Daniel Pewter were sitting behind JBL at SmackDown? And like,
yeah. Yeah.
That's funny as hell. JBL seems like the type of guy. If you know Dave Mustard's been behind him, he'd probably throw his drink on him or something like that.
Very possible.
All I know is that I've had the opportunity to sit next to Dave, not at wrestling shows, but one, like third or fourth row, at Wayne Newton. And then as soon as Wayne Newton's over, Dave starts talking about how every young wrestler going to wrestling school needs to come see Wayne Newton so they can learn how to fucking perform and work.
Yeah.
And then also sitting next to Dave Meltzer listening to Joey Coco Diaz do stand-up comedy and talking about nothing but pussies and vaginas and assholes. And then Joe Rogan, and then it was like Joe Rogan was doing his comedy. And I'll never forget that he starts telling this like long story, funny story about Mark Coleman doing something crazy, and he tells the story. As soon as he finished telling the story, Dave looks to Brian, that's not true. But the best moment ever, and I'll never forget this, is like, because it's the most surreal thing I ever seen in my life, is we were getting ready to, where we were leaving the Joe Rogan comedy show. And seated next to us, a few seats to our side, was these two couples. And the two girls were mid to late 50s, but they were dressed like they were like 20-year-olds, wearing these like micro mini little outfits, just like they were barely fitting into them, and it was just disgusting as it is.
Not a good look.
And they were drinking and getting drunk. So anyway, we're getting ready to walk out, and one of them, the louder of the two, somehow falls back into her seat with her arms and legs spread wide open, and she's going commando style, and one of her boobs popped out.
Wow.
So Dave Meltzer stops, looks at her, turns to me with his eyes huge and kind of like does something with his eyebrows, like kind of like check it out. And this is looking like evil to Dave Meltzer I never seen before. It was the funniest thing.
I figured Dave would turn to you and say, that's a botch move.
Oh, but I'll never forget the look on Dave's face when he's all like shaking his, like, you know, he's doing that little shake to the head to like, hey, check that.
Wayne Newton does have great facials. He is a good worker.
Right? It was awesome.
Let's talk about real quick. I just want to bring up like the TV arenas, you know, that you could see a lot of the TV, wrestling TV from.
Yeah.
Like, Center Stage. Always
yeah.
like that. You didn't like that?
Yeah. Well, the place
oh,
was
you
the
did?
Dump.
Okay.
Oh, Craig doesn't
place
like
was
him. Some black dude made him take his camera back to his car.
How dare you? It didn't matter if he was white or black. You made me take it back. But anyway, no, the place was a dump, but it was, the setting
was
really cool. It was like a, the feel inside the place was like, you know, like you were in a club or a, you know, like you were watching wrestling, like in the bars, like they used
yeah.
to do so often. It was, the feeling was really cool. And, you know, there was like a haze of smoke, and it was, you know, not from cigarette smoke, but it was from the, it was from the pyro and or the fog machine or whatever, and it was just a really cool feeling to be in there and you know, seeing all the wrestling, you know, over the years that had been on there. And it, the building was cool, but the building was a dump.
That's what
and,
all of those buildings are dumps. I mean, the coolest ones, you know, like Center Stage, ECW Arena,
mm-hmm.
the Auditorium, Manhattan Center. They're all shitholes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you probably, I mean, I would imagine that ROH is going to be at the Manhattan Center WrestleMania weekend next year. And I'm so looking forward to going to the Manhattan Center. I think it's
yeah,
going to
be awesome.
So,
yeah, I love the,
yeah.
I love the old, the one right before Center Stage, the old Kickwood Drive Studios. Do you remember that?
The ones that only had like bleachers on two sides?
Yeah. And
yeah, that was
must
awesome.
Only been like,
I love
it seemed like it's only about like 40 people in there or something.
Yeah.
I always love those. I just like the little, I don't know, it's just kind of intimate, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
You can hear the matches more, a little bit more. You can hear what the guys in the ring are saying and stuff like that. It's just pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I love watching those 2-hour squash match shows on Saturday evenings at 6:05.
Where did they do
well,
Memphis at?
Huh? Memphis?
Where did they do Memphis at?
WMC Studios, the TV station there.
Okay.
Yeah, I've watched a lot of those. I love watching those old Memphis shows. Those are awesome. It was the only live show, like every week. It was 90 minutes live TV. It was a Memphis show.
Yeah, we were talking about like Tommy Rich earlier. I'll never forget the angle of him and Eddie Gilbert on Memphis TV there.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Well,
if
he
only
got
for Lance Russell,
over
his
ugly blue suit.
Yeah.
I was telling my son, we were talking about wrestling as I picked him up from the daycare, or his caregiver, I should say. But as we were coming home, I told him that, you know, over on the East Coast, like in New York and stuff, they do wrestling matches in churches. Blew his little mind. What? They have fighting in church? I said, yeah, they have wrestling matches in the churches. Really? That sounds cool. I actually got to go to the Portland Sports Arena and watch some wrestling and see the, you know, where they used to film old Portland wrestling back in the day. And once again, yes, the place is a hole. But cool building, probably seats, you know, at the most maybe 500 people. Lights are really low. If you ever saw the match where Billy Two Eagles came off the top rope and actually crashed into the lights above the ring. anyway, yeah, just a cool building. And like you said, just a hole.
You ever go to the flea market?
I did. Sandy Bar has a flea market in Portland. It's as you're coming from Washington into Portland, it's actually about 15 minutes is on the right side of I-5, Sandy Bar's flea market. He had a almost like a balcony area above where the quote-unquote flea market was that you probably could have sat maybe 100 fans. And once again, the place is a hole.
I think the biggest feud in the history of Portland wrestling was the promoters against the Athletic Commission.
and it carries on, oddly enough. It stopped about 3 or 4 years ago.
Wasn't Brian going to do a show and he showed up and the doors were locked because he shut the promotion down?
That sounds familiar, but they closed down many a show because your papers weren't in order. I mean, it got ridiculous.
They were doing something where the commission instituted rules that you could have no run-ins and no tears,
yeah.
No blood. I can understand no blood, but no run-ins, that's not even real.
Well, they were going by the old Portland Athletic Commission. They were going by the rules that were set up, you know, in the 40s. And there was even a clause in there where no wrestler at any time can leave his feet.
What?
So, yeah. The wrestler had to have at least one foot on the ground at all times because that was a rule back in the, you know, in the 50s.
How the hell did they throw a drop kick or a hit? How the fuck do you take a bump if you can't?
How do you do a schoolboy?
That was one of the rules. And they were actually, you know what? I need to get Ed Moretti on the show. He could do 2 hours on this topic. I'll look to book him.
You know, if you go into records in some cities and research this, there's probably a million, like, dumbass laws that nobody ever enforces.
Oh, yeah.
Like in city's history.
Yeah, I got in trouble one time.
You couldn't wrestle with a mask on or something? Or a woman couldn't wrestle?
You couldn't wrestle with a mask on, yeah, in Madison Square Garden. And then when you finally could, then you're supposed to take it off if you won the title.
Yeah.
There you go. No Moskitas would have declined to be the world champion because he didn't want to take off his mask.
Yeah, and when the Midnight Rider beat Flair for the title and he gave it back because he didn't want to take his mask off. Did you ever go to the Sportatorium, Ed?
No, I've never been. I've passed by it one time, but and that was years after they had stopped doing shows. But that's one place I really wish I could have gone. And
That
was
like a rock concert atmosphere in there.
Kind of,
like
I just remember this little old man who would be in the front row who would get all rowdy and start screaming and yelling at the wrestlers.
I like how they had for the ring bearers, they had rope.
I know, right? I love string rope, you know.
I remember seen that in that Bad Street USA video, that dude get in the face of Terry Gordy and he gives him a big shove.
That was one of the security guards.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was just like they just had him dressed like worker. But like if you look at some of the matches, you'll see him coming out with them, like the Von Erichs trying to keep the women off of him. But yeah, it's this one dude. He's actually pretty tall, big dude, but yeah, it was badass and Gordy because Gordy just pushed the shit out of him.
I don't think they had air conditioning in there.
What was real cool about the Sportatorium, or actually it was because of those little the rope, was they would let all the kids, and even when they have the shows here, that you know they would do it. They'd let all the little kids run up to the ring with their pitchers and Sharpies and get autographs.
Yeah.
So, like, before every match, you'd see the Von Erich signing a whole shitload of autographs and stuff. So like
they don't do
like,
that anymore.
They still
that's
be
one thing I
get. They kept Eric Embry as the booker. Right?
Wait, what about Eric Embry being the booker?
If they kept him as the booker, they'd still be in business. That's what I believe.
That's one thing about TNA I think is really cool. They actually cater to the fans when you go to their shows.
You're talking about like the house shows and shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they're real good about, you know, about you get up and close and personal with the talent, whereas WWE, they're stars and you don't waste their time, you know, and I actually think it's really cool that TNA actually takes the time to, you know, actually glad hand people and treat them, you know, like
people,
like they're people. Yeah, exactly.
Well, we'll see if that holds up now that Don West is gone.
Oh, that's so sad.
I know.
I know.
He should have been the person in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
I bet you he made more money for TNA than anybody in the company.
I'll tell you what. Those two house shows that I went to, or the three house shows I've been to, there wasn't a fan that left that arena without some kind of merch, aside from Brian Alvarez. You know, everybody, I mean, multiple things. So, you know, Don West, the ultimate shill, he couldn't just sell baseball cards. He sold a lot of Jeff Hardy T-shirts, too.
And he was
he sold to
a hell of an announcer, I thought.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, he was great as an announcer, but when he sold baseball cards, he sold a lot of fucking baseball cards.
We treated him like Jesus Christ was being sold or something like that. You got to have him.
You know, as cheesy and as much as a chill that he sounds, the dude knows how to fucking make money.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
He may look like a goof when he does it, but he gets it done, so I can't complain about it. And they're still waiting to get that pay-per-view in Kent. That's why they keep coming back.
I can't wait. Any day now, they're going to announce it. I'm going to be the first in line to buy tickets.
Pound for Glory in Kent this year. Kent, Washington.
Yeah, no doubt.
I want to say something about the ECW arena. ECW was one of those companies, like, when it started getting more popular, they really didn't have to change the way the arena looked, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's Extreme Championship Wrestling. It's supposed to look like it's in a shithole, right?
Yeah, I talked about that, and I actually brought up from the Gangsta's Paradise show the first match with in the States with Rey Mysterio and Psicosis.
Yeah.
And how that kind of introduced Lucha to American audiences.
Yeah, I remember they brought in they also did like a Mexican death match or something where they're doing hurling piranhas on top of cars or something.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
But that ECW arena, that was like one of those companies. They had something for everybody on those shows. If you like the storyline, if you like just like the blood and guts, if you just like technical wrestling like Guerrero and Malenko or something like that, or you like the goofy stuff like the FBI or the Blue World Order or something. Yeah. I mean, they had something for everybody. And it was,
your buddy Al Snow and all the dudes are with their heads.
I love reading that story that last week when Sabu got fired in the Old Observer. I don't know if you read that.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty good. You need to check it out. I like reading about the beginning of ECW and when it started to become more popular and everything like that. It's really fun to look at.
Yeah. We should do a whole show on ECW. I could actually, you know, keep up.
Hey, ECW documentary. We could review that.
You know what I really like, speaking of ECW, or maybe even we could, like, if we do a show on ECW, we could talk about this, because it's been a while since I've seen it, but the ECW, not the WWE one, but the Jeremy Borash video.
Oh, Forever Hardcore.
That is fucking awesome.
Yeah, that was a good
one. I like how, like, they talk about how, like, you know, when Douglas threw the title down.
Yeah.
I like how they cut to that between like, you know, them and the stuff going on in the Terry Funk. And you get to, even, like, today, Terry Funk's still not the happiest about that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
About, like, how they did
and they interview Funk, and he shows the contract for the first one-night stand that they sent him, WWF did.
Yeah.
That he didn't sign. I think he tore it up or something. Of course, he was there next year, but I think it was right after Chris Candido died, and they had a thing on him. Was supposed to be on
And then New Jack was awesome, talking about, he was like, I can't see out my left eye, you know. And
the only thing that kills that is the great thing about WWE DVDs, whether you like them or you know, whether you care about them telling the truth or not, they can show everything that happened, like all the matches they're talking about.
Yeah.
Something like that. And so, which unfortunately, you get some XPW shit from them and these other ones.
Well, the one guy who did the Von Erich one, he was World Class?
Yeah, Brian Harrison, he got in there right before WWE bought it.
Yeah.
He was able to use all that stuff.
Yeah, so I mean that one was cool. I was like this because that's what I was expecting. It was just very little or like you know, just not TV, just like stuff maybe from like a house show or something that was recorded. But I was actually amazed at how much stuff he actually had on there. And that's an awesome, mm-hmm. an awesome fucking DVD.
Yeah, we should. Have y'all seen that the WWE ECW DVD, the documentary?
Yeah,
the first one.
Yeah, the first one.
I've seen it, but it's been a while. I probably need to watch it again. But that was an awesome fucking DVD.
I think it was the highest selling one next to WrestleMania or something in history for the company.
Oh. I have to go back and watch it. It's been a while.
The Monday Night Wars one was awesome. They put out some, you know, say what you will, they put out some fucking awesome, all their documentary things are awesome. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah,
sometimes they put out some shitty ones with some shitty matches and stuff, but the ones that are documentaries are awesome.
Yeah, I'm really hoping they do one on Mid-South. Yeah, they got good stuff.
That will be cool.
Because they, you know, they got a good relationship with Bill Watts and most of the other guys there, like DiBiase and obviously Duggan and Terry Taylor and guys like that.
I'm just worried about the extra matches that they won't be Mid-South matches, but it'll be Butch the Natural Reed and it's so funny how, like, you know, Mid-South was a real fucking tough territory with all these badass dudes and they all went to WWE and were just cartoon characters and not bad dudes anymore.
I like how Dave can't lower himself to say Coco Beware. He always says Coco Ware.
I keep meaning to send in a freaking question to Wrestling Observer Radio, but I keep forgetting. Remember they were talking about the Junkyard Dog and Coco both using the Stagger Lee gimmicks?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, Coco also did the Sweet Brown Sugar gimmick, and there was, you know, Skip Young was the original Sweet Brown Sugar, so I'm just kind of like wondering if Coco Beware just likes to steal shit from everybody.
Hey, Ed, we got about 3 minutes. You might want to throw out the plugs, bud.
I want to send in something.
I'd rather do it on one of the phone shows. I want to see if Dave's watched the new Dallas.
I bet he has. But anyway, everyone check out angrymarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at angrymarks.com along with a lot of other shows. And I'd actually promote the next show, but I'm not going to do that because of who their shitty guest is. But anyway, check out angrymarks.com and the Angry Marks Show, and you can hear our show there anytime you want along with every single show we've ever done. So, yeah, everyone check out angrymarks.com.
And there's some good fighting on the next couple of days. Friday, we've got Clay Guida versus Gray Maynard. And on Saturday, the show you actually have to pay for, we have Rich Franklin versus Vanderlei Silva. So it's going to be some good fighting, and there's going to be some subpar fighting on this weekend.
Are you watching the ROH show?
Yeah. I'm actually going to a concert on. I'm going to a concert on Sunday night, so hopefully, I can get it all in before I actually head out for the concert.
Well, I'm sure the concert that I'm going to is going to be better than the concert you're going to.
Maybe not. I mean, I've not heard good things about good old DLR's voice.
It's the original Van Halen?
Yeah, that's the main reason I'm going, because it's the first time I've ever get to see him.
Michael Anthony's not in the band, and he doesn't do those high falsetto backing vocals, so in my opinion, the live experience not going to be as good. But I did get to see them with Sammy Hagar about 3 times. So
I prefer Sammy Hagar.
I do, too. But
it's totally different.
I'm in the minority.
Yeah. I know the one with David Lee Roth, that's like up there, that's like one of the most famous bands of all time, you know?
Absolutely.
That version.
I got to see them, the last tour they did, it was the Four Unlawful Carnal Knowledge tour, and a little old band from Seattle called Alice in Chains opened up the show.
Hopefully yeah. David Lee Roth isn't a gigolo anymore.
Oh, I hope he is.
I'm actually amazed I'm going to get to go to the concert because I remember not that long ago they canceled like a big chunk of their dates because they're already fighting. So I wasn't even sure.
Are they already fighting with one another?
Yeah, their last show was actually in Tacoma, and it was a couple of months ago, and they canceled a huge chunk of concert dates and started up again, and then they said they have a big announcement for the first of the year, so the speculation is they're actually going to be playing the Super Bowl halftime show.
That would be cool. They get rid of the guy that came from Extreme?
Gary Cherone? Yes, he's long gone.
He only did like one album, I think.
Yeah,
I remember I was hearing that, I think it was on the radio or something, or maybe it was on MTV or something. They were playing, what's that fucking song Stream did? You know when you hear it.
More than words.
More than words. You say, cut that crap out or we're going to send your ass back to Extreme. I guess he was playing it in the background or something. God, that song.
Awesome.
I'm so much embarrassed. I liked
it. Yeah, I'm sure you'll have fun at the show, Ed, especially the way you throw down, so.
Yeah, it should be a good time. I'm actually going. It's about 22 years too late, but I'm actually going with the most popular girl in school and the head cheerleader. But unfortunately, after we made this date to go to the concert, she ended up meeting some other dude and has a boyfriend. So.
Yeah, that's what.
Well, I hope her life has ended up better than this whore I saw on Impact a little while ago. Doing drugs and pills.
All right, so we're out of time, but I've got to tell you, I told you guys I was going to the drive-in last weekend, right?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
So we load up the car, load up some snacks, a little cooler, go to the drive-in, and going to see Madagascar 3. And Cameron was very excited. And as we drive up to the gate, you know, I'm like, so what's the double feature? You know, what's it playing with? And Michelle's looking at the screen. It says Madagascar 3 and Dark Shadows. So that's the movie, the vampire movie with Johnny Depp. It's kind of a black comedy kind of a thing, you know? So you've got a rated G kids movie with a comedy slash horror movie. This is the worst pairing of movies I've ever heard of in my life. And so when the second feature came in, we put Cameron in the back seat and handed him my iPod, and he played Angry Birds and didn't look at the screen. So I could not believe it.
I just want to know if Tim Burton, if he can make a movie without Johnny Depp in it.
I hope not, because Johnny Depp's a man, in my opinion. But... yeah, it was okay. It wasn't Pirates, you know, of the Caribbean or anything, but it's all right.
The thing is, there's like so few G movies that come out, so that's probably the closest thing they probably could play with it.
I don't know.
You know,
I mean,
if it wasn't Prometheus, you know.
That's true. It could have been worse, I guess, but
yeah.
It was pretty bad.
Supposed to be a bad movie or something.
It's the prequel to all the Alien movies. So, yeah.
And no, but then he fucked it up because it's a prequel that's trying not to be a prequel.
Oh, it's like a mystery movie or something? You know,
it has hints from it. It was supposed to be a prequel to Alien, but then he decided to not make it, like, total. So there's, like, okay, you seen the first Alien, Couture?
Yeah, I've seen all of them.
Okay, remember when they found this ship and an alien with his, where the thing had busted out of his chest. It was like a big alien, and it was like a ship that they found.
Yeah, I remember.
Okay, that's the ship, and that's on this movie, Prometheus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think I'll go to themoviespoiler.com and read the play-by-play instead of when you see this.
There you go. If you look hard enough, you could probably find the movie itself.
I actually kind of want to see it because it's got Magneto from X-Men First Class, and he was awesome in that, and he looks awesome in this one from the previews.
I've heard some very polarizing opinions on it. I've heard it's great, And then I've also heard, you know, it's the worst thing ever. So it probably lands somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
So. Anyway. Well, hey, kids, let's wrap this show up, and I'll try to book us a guest for
next
week.
I got to get going up. Buffy's dead, and we got to see if she gets brought back.
And we might need to move the show earlier next week or go again on Thursday. So,
we can do my live impact report. Oh, go ahead, Katrina. Hold on.
We can do my live impact report.
Yeah. You just watch the thing for 2 hours, and we'll talk about it.
I was going to say, though, in about 2 weeks, I don't know how we're going to do this, because the only time I could do a show would be Wednesday, which I actually kind of want to do a show on Wednesday, because it would actually be it'll be the fourth year of the show, because we did the first show on 4th of July, but... it's going to be kind of hard to do a show on Wednesday on the 4th of July, but if we do something, more than likely that's when it's going to be. So we'll see what we'll do for that.
And you've got Vegas coming up, right? Is that when that is?
Yeah. So the next day, Thursday, I'm leaving for Vegas, and then I'll be in Vegas. And I actually have my vacation. I have 2 weeks off from UPS, but they actually start the Monday after. But because you know, when it's like a holiday, we don't actually get the holiday. We get the night before. So instead of getting Wednesday off, we're going to have Tuesday off. But then I'm going to miss Wednesday and Thursday, because if you miss a day and they decide to write you up, they have 10 working days to write you up. But then I'm on vacation for 2 weeks, so I'm going to miss Wednesday and Thursday. Go to Vegas on Thursday, and then when I come back, they might be a little pissed off, but there's nothing they can do about it.
We hear the story all the time.
Yeah. So, well, anyway, I'm
you're always
excited.
Pissing off your bosses. I'm surprised you ain't been fired yet.
I'm a teacher. They can't fire me.
Exactly.
One of those.
Yeah. Yeah. But it'll be awesome. I'll be with a lot of the gang. You know, unfortunately, Craig's not coming again, like always.
You can see me next April.
Unfortunately, but yeah.
Hello to Rodney. Your DVDs are in the mail. Okay, there.
What a guy.
Can you at least buy a Vegas shirt, Craig? Since I bought one of yours.
At cost, sure. Yeah, I need a good shirt to paint in.
That's funny. Sir Highlight's actually selling Vegas shirts so he can have spending money in Vegas.
Hey, everybody's got to work something.
Yeah. Well,
the wrestling convention, everybody's got to be working each other. Right. Got to have a hustle.
But, it should be a good time. Hopefully, Brian will fuck it up just by being a pain in the ass, like always. But,
yeah, good luck with that.
He has to be tired from all these shows he's done this week. Right?
It's good that he's going to do all these shows, because he's going to die when he goes out in the woods. The motherfucker's going to go in the woods with one pair of underwear, a pair of socks, and that's it. Okay. Maybe one bottle of water.
He'll literally take one change of clothes for 3 days.
Yeah.
Seriously, burn your mind. He doesn't perspire. I don't know what to do with.
He's going to want to do shows. He's going to try and do. You saw how he got in Florida. You think he's going to be able to handle fucking the woods?
I'm not going to comment.
Whitney would have a better chance of survival than Brian in the woods. I mean, hopefully Vinny will get tired of him and just kick his ass.
You know, somebody asked me on the board, you know, Craig, are you going to, and I'm like, well, number one, I wasn't invited, and number two, no. Absolutely not.
Go? Because you don't want to go camping, or because you don't want to go camping with Brian?
A little from column A and a lot from column B.
You don't want to go run around the woods looking for Bigfoot that ain't there.
Right.
But the damn thing is,
I'm mostly looking for Smurfs.
Dude, Bigfoot got on one of the guy's SUVs and was pushing down on it, dude, on the last expedition, dude.
Oh, he did? Really? Oh, I must have missed that one on CNN. Yeah.
I like how they invite women and children.
Yeah. Well, you got to be.
You're going to come across John Lithgow or somebody like that with Harry and the Hendersons.
The woman's actually a good idea because, you know, you get so many women, one of them's going to be on their period. That's going to attract the Bigfoot.
Oh, geez. You know, you said I ruined the show last week. I think we should end the show right there with your...
Yes, I'm in pressing in right now.
You can't press in. I'm hosting the show. Oh, he just dropped off. Huh.
I'm pressing in too, Ed.
Okay. Well, I'm looking for the theme music, so it's going to take me a second. Oh, here it is.
Be the man! You gotta beat the man! You want to find out how good you are? You're looking at the American shit! Let's go hook him up!
Tonight.